Little Emily biting her sister, or is teenage Barry refusing to help around the house? Consulting psychologist David Carey joins us to answer all your parenting woes. David Carey, speaking of eloquent, is with us once again. David, good afternoon to you.
I had no idea there were so many rollaholics out there.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't think so either, just until somebody texted in and mentioned it. It's amazing.
Well, they come out of the woodwork.
They come out of the woodwork. Rollos and rhododendrons, which apparently are an absolute huge threat to
when I was
the feature
young boy,
of humanity.
I always thought it was pronounced rhododendrons, which makes it sound like a dinosaur, and I kind of like it better that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, you're right, rhododendrons.
Yeah.
It's more kind of onomatopoeic as well, rhododendrons.
Well, onomatopoeic is also another good one there.
Yeah. My six-year-old daughter witnessed her father collapse during a medical emergency in January. It was very scary for both of us, and after this, she started saying she was a vampire in an effort to cope with what was happening. While his problems are relatively minor, he has been in and out of hospital and she is understandably concerned. She has started talking to an imaginary monster family, including a demon father, mother and two vampire siblings. She says this is because her real dad is not around very much and she's no brothers or sisters in real life, so she needs this new family. All this talk of demons and vampires is causing her friend's parents to not want her around their children as she's considered a bad influence. Right now, we could use playdates more than ever, but I can understand why other parents would not want my daughter around their kids. Do you think this situation warrants some therapy, or is there some way I can encourage her to park this fantasy myself? I've tried several tactics, including asking her questions about her monster family, which she happily answers, and the alternative of telling her not to talk about her monster family when she's around me, but this really upsets her and then she shuts down altogether. I'm feeling ill-equipped to help my young daughter cope with the medical trauma.
Gosh, this is an interesting situation here. I think this little girl could benefit from some play therapy, quite frankly. I wouldn't be saying that, except for the fact that it's now causing interpersonal problems and other parents. Obviously, she's talking about it so much in front of other little children that other parents are becoming concerned. Either A, there's something wrong with her, or B, she'll unwittingly cause upset to other six-year-olds.
Mm.
So now she's going to become quite isolated unless she gets to grips with it. Now, you've already tried several tactics and none of them are working. I think as a general rule in situations like this, when a parent has exhausted their repertoire of possible skills and interventions, you look outside for help.
Yeah.
With six-year-olds, we don't usually do verbal interventions. Unless they're very, very short, time limited, I think play therapy may be the way to go here. So I would get in touch with GP, seek a referral to a play therapist, or just Google play therapists. There's probably even a play therapy association here in Ireland. I'm sure one of our listeners will text in if there is.
I'm sure they will.
And get some help for the little girl, because I'm concerned about her. She certainly did suffer a great fright witnessing daddy collapse in the family home. There probably, I'm just guessing, would have been an ambulance and medical personnel involved. Then father had to go to the hospital and has had repeated visits to the hospital. Thank God he's well. Minor medical condition, but now he's absent from the home. One can only begin to wonder if when he's not there, isn't she fantasizing that something may have happened to daddy again, or is something going to happen to daddy again? Play therapy usually can be a very useful intervention. And this, I think, of all the situations I can imagine that might benefit from play therapy, this would be up there on the top 10 list, really. So I would strongly urge mom and or dad to go to a play therapist, speak very, very clearly with the therapist about everything that happened, what the scenario was, get all the details out there and let the play therapy work with the child. Play therapy usually lasts 8 to 16 weeks, sometimes a bit more. I can't really speak for the course of treatment, you know. But I think that's an appropriate intervention at this stage, Sean.
Yeah. And over time, then, would you see that this kind of fantasy family she's devised will go away?
Yes. Or, yeah, it will be. Well, certainly through play therapy. the therapist will be able to uncover the underlying thematic material that's driving this girl to be so entrenched with her fantasy life that it's all she wants to talk about.
Yeah.
If it weren't for that, I wouldn't be terribly concerned.
Yeah.
Her rich fantasy life is in and of itself not a problem, but it becomes a bit worrisome if the child begins to blur the boundary between fantasy and reality, or wants to talk so much about it that it interferes with friendship formation, play dates, invitations to parties, and things like that. That's a very unhealthy place for a child to live in, all things being equal.
Mm.
But for this little girl, all things aren't equal. Her fantasy life is too rich. And it's very interesting to me that it's demonic and horrific fantasy life, which you don't typically see in six-year-old girls.
Okay. All right. Because I would have thought there's a lot of vampires in popular culture, almost to the extent of vampires are depicted as being kind of friendly and quite attractive.
Well, this is true. You know, we also have to wonder, has she been exposed to any of the vampire movies and things? Probably not at age six. I mean, most right-thinking parents don't let their children see these things. It's an unusual fantasy.
Yeah.
Particularly for a six-year-old girl. Boys of seven and eight have these kind of fantasies and much richer things even. Involving killing and murder and all that. We don't get terribly upset with it unless, again, it interferes with friendship formation, relationships with others. I'd want to also parents talk to teacher, find out how she's doing in school. Is any of this interfering with schoolwork and whatnot?
Yeah. My grandson is 8.5. He has ADHD and hypotonia, low muscle tone. My daughter and son-in-law have been advised to put him on medication but haven't done so. He's in second class at school and, with assistance, is doing very well. He's also doing music classes, drums, and enjoys drama and swimming classes. There's one problem. He stays in his own bubble of three friends at school and won't go outside these three kids. Their parents never invite him to their houses. In fact, at one time, he was excluded from a party invitation. He can't run very fast and is therefore unable to keep up with the rough and tumble of the playground. He used to ask about play dates and has given up even asking. He and his older sister get the school bus to school, which means that my daughter doesn't get to know other parents in the class, which would provide opportunities to arrange play dates. Have you any advice?
I wish I knew why he wasn't being invited and why he was excluded. There's a real, that's an important missing piece of information here.
Yeah.
Because now medical advice has been put him on medication of some kind. Now he has ADHD. Usually practitioners don't advise medication for children around age eight unless the ADHD is severe and there's significant problems with impulse control or significant problems with frustration tolerance, anger management, etc. So something must have been present during the assessment process that raised the curtain of concern to the level of, really, we want to try him on some medication. Because my experience here in Ireland is we don't over-medicate. So one could certainly level that critique against North America and particularly the U.S., but we certainly do not over-medicate here. So I would like to know more about this little boy. Why is it, if all things are going well, that he's being excluded from a party and not invited on play dates and whatnot? Now, he has hypertonia. I wonder, has there been an occupational therapy assessment? Because he may have motor coordination difficulties, what's called developmental coordination disorder, dyspraxia, that may interfere with his ability to balance and coordinate, making him clumsy and awkward on the football pitch and a rather unwanted team player and participant as a result. So let's take a better look at this, find out why. The missing question, why isn't he being invited?
Yeah, you'd wonder, is the ADHD making him somewhat unmanageable if he goes to those kind of visits.
See,
but we're speculating.
This
here,
is grandmother, I suppose. It could be grandfather writing in about the little boy. So he may behave quite well around her, but at home may kick up. Or when the field of his interaction is very loose, such as at free play or in other people's houses or at parties when there's tremendous stimulation. Maybe he loses control of himself. I really wish I knew more.
Yeah.
I could give better advice if I knew more.
David, can you advise on how to get a 2.5-year-old to brush his teeth? My son was late getting teeth and didn't even think about his teeth brushing until he had several of them. Then we started encouraging him to suck on the toothpaste on the brush, etc. We should have done it for him from the get-go because he refuses point blank to do it himself and is unused to us going near his mouth, so becomes hysterical at the first gesture. We have tried everything, brushing our own teeth first, dabbing toothpaste on the end of his soother, buying strawberry and bubblegum toothpaste, giving him the brush with toothpaste and walking away and not giving him an audience, making up songs about it, you name it. The only thing left seems to be both of us holding him down bodily and forcing his mouth open, which would not only be traumatic but also quite violent. But we don't know how to get him to do it. His breath smells quite stale too. Thanks for any thoughts you may have.
Well, first of all, don't hold him down.
Yeah, yes.
Force his mouth open.
I think they know that themselves.
Please, I think they know that. You need an incentive system.
Yeah.
You need a reward. A reinforcer. What is it he likes? What does he enjoy? And therefore, even beginning approximate behavior to brush teeth is reinforced with an external reward.
Mm.
So if he picks up the toothbrush, great, he gets his reward. Next time, if he picks it up and holds it longer, you have to take small approximations of what you want to see in the penultimate behavior and reinforce them. Consistently.
Mm.
It's at first.
Yeah.
Consistent reinforcement is really important at first. You've tried everything but that, apparently, because they're talking about all the things they've done, but they haven't mentioned a reward system. So think about it. Find some kind of a reward and just go with small approximations of teeth brushing behavior. Reinforce each one as they occur. Don't make a big deal out of it. See what happens.
Yeah, indeed. And if you have a recording of your toothbrushing song, please send it in.
We'd love to hear that. Yeah.
Just referring back to the first question we had about the six-year-old who witnessed our father collapse. Kian says, my young son witnessed me collapse a number of weeks ago. He's age 5. I was in a coma for 2 weeks. The poor fellow witnessed a subsequent collapse and seizure too. He was understandably very upset. We brought him to a few art therapy sessions and it made the world of difference. I would highly recommend it.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
We had a question in there about a 2.5-year-old can't get him to brush his teeth or even consider the idea of brushing his teeth. Someone says try an electric toothbrush. I don't know how that's really, I might make things worse actually, might find it a bit scary. I find it hard to brush my 19-month-old's teeth, but it helps brushing them while he's in the bath. Says somebody else. There's a great toothbrushing app, really works. Mm-hmm. Elaine says show him the clip of Tom Bilbiboos on the Night Garden of them brushing their teeth and all brush at the same time as a family with the video clip on YouTube.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
Okay. Make it a kind of family thing.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Or Jane suggests, give him an M&M each time he brushes his teeth. Somewhat defeating the purpose, we would have thought.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, my son started excessive eye blinking 3 years ago. Since then, the blinking has been replaced with constant shoulder shrugging, heel tapping, hand wringing and head nodding. He was referred to a paediatrician and was told he did not have Tourette's, but an issue with anxiety. 2 years ago, he began to hate school and didn't want to go. This has eased and he's happy to go to school now, but never regained his full confidence. Please help.
I wish I knew how old the son was.
Mm.
Because that's a little piece of missing information.
Yes, yeah.
Now, okay, if he hadn't been to a paediatrician, I would be suspecting Tourette's. Because the symptom profile and the evolution of the tics is such that it does suggest such a thing. However, you've got a consultant involved who says it isn't. Tourette's is a very difficult condition to make a definitive diagnosis anyway, particularly early on or a couple of years into tics, even when they progress, it's a toughie, and the call is usually made after a long time of progression of tics.
Yeah.
Just so we're clear on this, vocal tics are extremely rare in Tourette's syndrome. They're the ones that are always showing on television.
Yeah,
everyone likes to talk about it, but they're extremely rare. So it could be anxiety. Now, there certainly is a social cost to having tics of the magnitude that this boy has. It probably is irritating and annoying, the foot tapping, for example, in classroom. It probably draws attention to him from other children. So he's discomforted. It has had a knock-on effect to his self-confidence. I think a little anxiety reduction intervention, a few sessions of how to breathe properly and a little art therapy may help. You can't do much about the tics. We don't attack those.
Yeah.
Really. Unless we know there is a genuine tic disorder there, and there are treatment protocols for that. Depending on the age of the child, they can be easily implemented or not so easily implemented. So we don't know how old the boy is. I think maybe some relaxation training might be very helpful to him. Mm. Corrective breathing exercises. There are apps for that, by the way, and there are DVDs for that. So go down that road and just see if it doesn't help him begin to feel a little bit better, more calmer in school.
Yeah,
and his confidence. He has never regained his full confidence. That's too vague for me to work with, really.
Yeah,
I don't quite know what's embedded in that.
The tics themselves would be some, and it seems as if from that there are tics still there. So there's some measure of concern from that.
Yeah, the tics are still there. Now, there's nothing you can do about the tics.
Mm.
They're just there. Don't say it's a bad habit. Don't say don't do that. You know, if I knew how old the boy was, I could give you some guidance about how to talk to him about the tics. But in the absence of knowing his age, I can't really guide you.
Yeah. My 10-year-old daughter has been bullied on and off for years by a boy at school. We dealt with it in third class and fourth class. It was much better, but it started again this year. It's petty bullying, but it annoys her. We had her see a therapist as she was getting tummy pains at night, and I felt she was having anxiety attacks. It turned out that she was unable to process her anger. The boy recently hit her in the face during class. I have complained to the school, spoken to the principal and teacher, and written a follow-up letter. I asked for a meeting with the child and parent, but the principal refused. There have been no sanctions on the boy. He was made apologise to my daughter, but that's all. I am disgusted at how softly they have handled this, considering his history with my daughter and the fact that he was physical with her. The principal actually said my daughter could be annoying and overreact to things. I'm not happy with the outcome. What should I do?
Well, this is a sad case. You need to be firm here. I'm going to take it as if it was chipped in granite. We don't know exactly what happened. We'll never know.
Yeah.
This little girl has been slapped in the face by a boy in her classroom. You are unhappy because the boy wasn't chastised properly. You asked for a meeting with the boy and his parents. That's inappropriate. You won't get anywhere that way.
Yeah.
And no school is going to comply with such a thing. You need to go in there and tell that principal, I have a copy of your anti-bullying policy here. I want you to show me and tell me exactly how you have followed it step by step. If you haven't, or you have missed a step, I'm going to give you 1 week to implement it. If nothing is done, I will take it both to the Department of Education, and I will also ring up Child Services, TUSLA, and let them know that there is a situation in which my child has been assaulted in school by another child, and I want it looked after. That should focus the principal's attention a little bit.
Right. Okay. That's fairly fairly straightforward. David, what's the best way to deal with a three-year-old's tantrums? My little girl can go from 0 to 100 in seconds over nothing. We have a new baby in the house too, and I'm conscious she feels a bit put out over this, so we try to include her in everything, but it's not possible to give her my full and constant attention like I used to. It's becoming a very stressful house when she doesn't get her own way.
Well, you know, tantrums at age 3, not entirely uncommon. Turn around, walk away, don't look back. That's about all you can do.
Yeah.
Ignore.
And make sure they're not banging their head off the ground or
Well, if there's a carpet, you don't have to worry too much. And usually they don't bash their head off the ground.
Yeah.
I don't know of any instances where children have really significantly injured themselves in a temper tantrum. You just have to ignore it because it's attention seeking. Now, whilst ignoring the temper tantrums, we reinforce more acceptable behavior. Honey, Mommy and Daddy are so happy to see you smiling and laughing today. Here, let's have a big hug and kiss. Reinforce what you want to see increase. Ignore what you want to see decrease, because getting yourself all emotionally overwrought about it only makes it worse.
Yeah.
The more emotional you get, the more emotional the child
they will
gets.
Get. Yeah, absolutely. Always. On the subject of getting that 2.5-year-old to brush his teeth, a few suggestions on that. Someone says there's a wonderful pediatric dentist in Mount Merion who demonstrates how to brush your child's teeth. In fact, parents should do it until aged 8, I think. God, I did not know that. So someone else says, just show your child a picture of Shane McGowan. That's presumably before Shane McGowan got the new teeth, so that might work. James says on the trauma thing, this is about the child who witnessed his father collapsing. My mother died when I was 8, and for some time after, I used to dream about my dad disappearing into a black hole. I now realize this was connected to losing a parent. It's amazing how the mind works.
Yes, that's a very good text, but the difference is that person was dreaming.
Yes. Yeah, indeed.
This little girl is living these fantasies in the here and now.
Yeah.
Not just at home, but in other places.
Another text says on the little fellow has the tics. Tics may be improved, may be helped by improving body awareness through yoga or something. I've worked with several kids with tics and it has been useful.
Okay.
Yeah. Worth a go. Why not?
Worth a try.
Deirdre says, I love this slot. Our kids are slightly beyond this, and yet it's somehow relevant. David is just wonderful. I'm a primary teacher, and he's a reminder of how we should be in our sector. David, thank you for your font of knowledge.
Well, isn't that nice? I'm speaking at an event, Mental Health and Education, coming up soon, sometime next month in the Davenport Hotel. The topic is the teacher as the second chance for every child.
There you go. Though Paul has a slightly different observation. It's more a philosophical, stroke religious one. Paul says, if the meaning of life is suffering, then is the parenting advice not lessening the suffering and therefore diminishing the meaning of life? Just a thought, says Paul.
You think too much.
Yeah, you do. Stop thinking, Paul. Someone else says, now this is a more old school solution to the teeth brushing. My two kids, age 2 or 3 at the time now, this is dating this person, were daft about Donny Osmond with the cloak and all, those gleaming white teeth. When all else failed, I hung up a picture of the beaming Donny. I told him he looked like that because he brushed his teeth a lot. Problem solved instantly. That says that text there.
So who's the current incarnation of a Donny Osmond?
I don't think we do.
Daniel O'Donnell, maybe? Or
yeah. Oh, the kids love Daniel O'Donnell. Yeah. Put a picture on your 2-year-old's wall of Daniel O'Donnell. See how far you get. David, thanks a million for coming into us. Always a pleasure. Listen in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. here on Moncrief for more parenting advice from David Carey.